You're listening to the CallToCome.org podcast, reaching the nations to help the bride of Jesus get ready. Now let's listen to today's message with our hosts, Call to Come.
To the virtuous woman of God, scattered throughout the world, yet united in faith and love for the Lord, and who eagerly await the blessed appearing of his coming, may you continue to grow in faith, hope, and love as his Spirit works in you to sanctify you in preparation for his glorious return. We continue today with part two of the Glorious Bride series. In these first few lessons, I want to lay a foundation of some important principles that will help us to understand the second part of the series, where I hope to present clearly the glorious bride as revealed in Scripture. My reason for sharing these things are twofold. First, that we may come into a greater understanding of the bride and therefore our own identity of who we are in Christ. And secondly, that in knowing the bride, we may understand more fully the eternal purpose of God and how future events will unfold. For I believe understanding the bride is the key to understanding eschatology, or the doctrine of the future. Last time, I shared the principle of dual realities and explained how there are both primary and secondary realities. We could also say heavenly and earthly, or spiritual and natural. There are many examples of this, like the temple in heaven, and the shadow or copy of the tabernacle upon the earth as given to Moses in Hebrews 8 verse 5. Another example is Jerusalem. For there is a Jerusalem in heaven, which Paul mentions in Galatians 4:26, and a natural Jerusalem upon the earth, which is the city of the great king, Psalm 48 verse 2. In each case, one is primary and the other secondary. One is in heaven and the other is on the earth. But in our study of the glorious bride, we also identified and made comparison between the woman in heaven, a sign of which was seen by John in Revelation 12, and the woman upon the earth, as in the creation. Here's our texts again. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Revelation 12, verse 1. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Genesis 2:23. The point I made last time was that before there was a woman upon the earth, there was a woman in heaven. She was depicted by the stars, the sun, and the moon. She represents a key for us to unlock our understanding of the bride. When Adam and Eve were placed in the garden, the woman in heaven was above them, and though she was visible, she was not yet revealed. Today, I want to continue laying a foundation for the glorious bride and share another key principle, which is this. When we talk about the bride, we are actually only talking about half of the reality of the woman. When we talk about the bride, we are in particular referring to the relational aspect of the woman, of how the bride and bridegroom relate to each other, two persons in union becoming one, or as the Bible says, the two shall become one flesh, Genesis 2:24. This is the relationship as expressed between husband and wife, and this union all becoming one flesh is what Paul describes for us in Ephesians 5:31. Jesus will leave his father's house and be united to his wife, his bride. But I want to point out that in creation, Adam gave two names to the person which came from his rib. Let's look again at our verse in Genesis 2:23. The Bible tells us that Adam said, "She shall be called woman." The word used here is isha, meaning wife or woman. This is the bride, the one who comes from the man and is joined back to him. The reason Adam called her isha was because she was taken out of man. Isha came from out of Adam, so her name was relating her back to him, back to Adam. Her name connected her with him. She is his, so she has his name. This was the first name that Adam gave to his wife. He called her Isha, meaning woman or wife. But look at what happened next. For we know that the story doesn't end there. And as we read in Genesis 3, verse 20, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Why did Adam call his wife Eve? That's a good question, because he had already named her previously as Isha, meaning woman. Here's my answer. She was given her name Eve not because she was Adam's wife, but because she was the mother of all living. Eve's identity was not yet revealed at the point of marriage or of union. But her identity as Eve was revealed because she was a mother. The woman was fully revealed when she was seen as a wife and a mother. And the name given to her by her husband was the name Eve or Chava, which means life, to breathe, to give life. The name Eve was not given because she was the bride of Adam, but because she was the mother of all living. Eve is fertile. She is a fruitful vine. Together with her husband, they're blessed by God to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth and to subdue it, Genesis 1:28. But more specifically, there is a prophetic word given by God about the seed of the woman. "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Genesis 3:15. Just like Eve, the bride is also a fertile bride. She is a fruitful vine. She has a womb. And Satan fears the seed of the bride as he does the seed of Eve. Who is the seed of Eve that will bruise the serpent's head? Well, we can look at the woman in heaven, our primary reality, for our answer. This time, Revelation 12, verse 2 and 5. "And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth and pained to be delivered. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne." This is Jesus, the man-child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. In Revelation 19:15, it reads, "Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fury and wrath of Almighty God. So in closing, the foundation principle for us here is that the woman is both a bride and a mother, and like Eve, she is only revealed or nameable in her role as a mother. Next time, we will see how the bride is a fertile vine, and she shall manifest the glory of God upon the earth. Until then, may the Lord keep you and bless you. Maranatha.